Based on hundreds of millions of real-world tests, the experts at Ookla Speedtest have spoken. T-Mobile is now the best mobile network in America. So you can keep up with all the MLB action from the ballpark to the backcountry because they've got the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. Oh, and did I mention the largest satellite-to-mobile network? They're way ahead making sure that the fans experience every pitch, play, and post-game moment. So whether you're streaming the game out and about, checking stats on the road, or experiencing ballpark perks with Magenta status, you're ready to stay connected wherever your fandom takes you. Head over to T-Mobile.com/network to switch to the best network. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence, data first half 2025, compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
A binge-worthy show about Jesus? The Chosen Season 3 is here. Come and see what the buzz is about. The Chosen explores the imperfect and messy relationships of real humans following Jesus. The first 6 episodes are available now. Stream each new episode for free. Plus, watch exclusive content like The After Show, only in the new Chosen app. Download the Chosen app on mobile and TV streaming devices. Visit BingeJesus.com to learn more.
Hey, MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Welcome to the Fantrax Toolshed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From dynasty to prospects to redraft, we got you covered. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clay.
All right, fantasy baseball fanatics around the world, welcome to the Toolshed. This is episode 101 of the Fantrax Toolshed with Clayton Cross, powered by Fantrax and FantraxHQ.com. I'm your host, Eric Cross. We have another fun episode in store today, a jam-packed episode with all the news and signings and injuries and whatnot that have gone on. We have a jam-packed episode. We're going to break it all down. And with me to do so, my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clay. Chris, are you? How excited are you that we just have actual moves and news to talk about that's not lockout-based?
I'm tired, man. I'm telling you. I think I've written up like every one of these. I was doing the news desk stuff at Fantasy Pros, plus doing a daily article about the fantasy impact of all of it. I know you're doing it for Fantrax. I'm tired. I've been staying up late covering it. Today's actually been kind of nice. It's been slower. Though it's like we have all these big names left, and it's like, all right, spring training games are starting soon. Like, where are these guys signing? So I think the floodgates are going to open really soon. Maybe while we're recording, that'd be fun to break a signing or a trade. Like, that'd be a blast, but we'll see. It's been fun. It has been fun. I'm tired, but it's been a fun time. I cannot complain.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those wondering, it is currently 8:30 p.m. East Coast time. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning and you're like, hey, why don't you guys talk about this signing that happened at 10 p.m.? That's why. So it happened after. But hopefully we can catch some breaking news here. But it's looking pretty slow. So maybe it's a calm before the storm, or maybe it's going to be a slow day. Biggest signing was Colin McHugh going to the Braves, which is it's Colin McHugh, so that's not really anything of noteworthy. My favorite rumor of the day, though, is the Chris Bryant to Colorado. Like, who wants to go to Colorado? Like, especially if you're someone like of Chris Bryant's stature, a guy that's won an MVP, still a pretty good player in this league. Why would you want to go to Colorado? I don't understand it.
I wish I understood, but I mean, he could probably hit 315 there. So for fantasy, like, value up, his stock take off.
I love it for that.
Yeah, why would you want to go play on a losing team?
Unless money is more important to you than winning. Yeah, he has the World Series from 2016 with the Cubs, but like, I'm sorry, Rockies fans. I love all y'all, but the Rockies have no chance of winning a World Series anytime soon. It took one of the most miraculous and weird winning streaks back in 2007 to even get to the World Series. And then a much better Red Sox team swept them in four games. So I just don't get why anybody of any, you know, elk of Chris Bryant's nature would want to go to Colorado.
This is random, but do you know any Rockies fans? I really can't think of any.
That's a good question. I know we have at least one listener of the show that has tweeted at us in the past about Rockies. I remember that.
Is it that dusty Colorado guy?
It might be.
Yeah, you're right.
But outside of that, I'm trying to think and I'm drawing a blank. I don't even think nobody on Twitter or I have no friends in the Colorado area. Yeah, I don't think I do, which is not overly surprising, but obviously I live in Maine, so it's not that odd to not know any Rockies fans over here in Maine. But all right, enough of that. We have a jam-packed show, but let's get that housekeeping out of the way first. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm EricCross04, and our show is at Fantrax Toolshed. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out our Patreon for extra content from both of us. And, of course, check out all the other great work we have on the Fantrax HQ network, including our 2022 draft kit. And check out our other great podcast, SP Streamer. They got a lot of good stuff over there, and they'll be adding some more shows in the near future, too. So be on the lookout for those as well. But let's get right into it. We kind of are breaking this down into three different kind of segments of the show. We'll start with all just the news, like not a transactional news, but just like all the news stories and storylines that have broken over the last few days. And then we'll get into some signings after the break, which have been, there's been a few decent ones, but that'll kind of be a little tame in that area. And then we'll finish up with all the trades that have happened over the last couple of days. A lot of good ones. The Texas-Minnesota trade, and then the Minnesota-Yankees trade. Cincinnati trade, a couple of trades there. The Olsen trade today. So a lot of fun stuff. But let's start with two top five players. Like, it's unfortunate that when the season kicks off on April 7th, we're not going to have Fernando Tatis Jr. or Ronald Acuna Jr. in action. Acuna said that if it was up to him, he'd be playing, but obviously it's not up to him. So we may be looking at closer to a May 1st return. We'll see there. He did say he felt 95% for what it's worth, but so we won't have him right away. And then Tatis Jr. fractured his wrist, out 3 months. That puts him closer to the All-Star break. So, man, Chris, what are you? First of all, let's start with Acuna, because there's been a lot of talk on Twitter whether, you know, with the missed 3 to 4 weeks, is he still a first round pick? And I said yes, because if you just look at all the projection systems, you know, Zips, the Bat, the Bat X, ATC, Steamer, etc. All of them are pretty consistent with the Acuna projection. They all have him right around 131 games, except for Zips, which has him 123. And even Zip, let's say Zips, because that's the lowest games play projection, they still have him hitting 277 with 35 home runs, 20 steals, 104 runs, 84 RBI. That's still a first-round talent, in my opinion. Maybe it's more of a back-end guy because of the missed time, but if you had, let's say, 15-teamer, Chris, you're on the clock, 13th pick, Acuna sitting there, do you take him or do you pass?
I don't know. It's so tough. I mean, all right, can we just say last year he played 82 games, all right? And he finished as the 93rd player on the Razzball Player Rater playing 82 games. So he played half.
Which is insane.
Yeah. He was that good. So I think I feel pretty confident in the projections. 35-20, you said for Zips, that's the lowest one. That's first round. I mean, can you tell me who else is going to do that? That is, I mean, obviously your top guys can do it, but I don't see, and everybody's concerned about him running. I'm really not. I know that, okay, the Braves may take it slow on him. Do you not realize who we're talking about here? Right. Ronald Acuna Jr. is the biggest gamer there is. He would play. He said, I mean, he was clear that he was going to play. And in BP yesterday, I don't know if you saw that he hit that monster palm way over the scoreboard. He just said, "I'm back." And while as he walked off, it was epic. He's going to play. I mean, he said he's 95% sprinting right now. 95% sprinting at the moment, and it's March 15th. So we're looking at, if he doesn't play until May 1st, we're looking at 45 more days that he has to be 100%. And these surgeries bring guys back strong. Football players come back and make full cuts in a shorter timeline than this. They're running routes, and the football routes and the cuts are much harsher on a leg than what Acuna's going to face. He can DH. I'm telling you, he's going to steal bases. The dude has desire to go 40-40. He could do it if he wanted to do it even in 130 games, because he was pacing that way last year. I mean, he was going for it. It's tough. The biggest question mark is, when do the Braves let him play? I think that he's going to prove to be ready. I've said all along that he was more than ready to come back by opening day in spring training, and I think it's pretty clear that he is, but the team is just holding him back a little bit. So I'm not overly concerned. I think I've seen people say fifth round. If you're letting him fall that far to me, who's come on.
Fifth round?
I've seen people on Twitter say as low as fifth round that they would need to see him go.
Okay, if anybody listening is one of those fifth round people, let me know so we can join a league together, okay? Fifth round is insane, all right? Yep. Because, like you said, it's Acuna here. And I would be willing to bet a sizable amount of money that he's back before May 1st. He might miss a week or two.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Like, I think May 1st is, like, the worst-case scenario we're talking about here. And like I said in my tweet, even if you want to dial back the speed projections, like, take away 10 to 20% of what all the, you know, all these projection systems are saying, which some of them still have him as high as 27, the Bat and Bat X have him at 27, as the Steamer, ATC is at 22, and Zips at 20. So, like, 20 is the lowest end. He's, like, 15, I think, is a bare minimum for him. So even if he's, like, 17, 18 to go along with all the other, you know, the home runs and the runs and the RBI and this good average, like, that's still a first-round talent. And, yeah, if he wants slips in the second round because of the uncertainty when he might come back and how much he will run, fine. I'll take that discount all damn day. On the other side of it, though, with Tatis, that's a little harder. Obviously, if you drafted him already, you got to hold on to him. But what if you haven't drafted yet? That's one thing I put in my article. Like, I don't know for 2022 leagues how to value him or where I think I would take him, because I think it's all kind of comes down to, like, the rest of your roster. How risk adverse are you? How deep your benches are? Because, like, obviously, if you have deeper benches, and obviously you're going to stash a guy that could be elite for half a season. But if you're ever in, like, a 12-teamer, you have limited benches, I don't know. Obviously, people are going to stash him, but I just don't know where I would take him. Like, is he worth taking at 150, 250? for half a season? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
That's a good question.
It's so hard to answer.
I know. But again, we looked at Acuna half the season last year, 93rd on the player rater. I really don't know. I'm afraid that if I were in his position, I would just choose to go ahead and have the surgery on the shoulder as well. Like, it sucks. Well. It sucks. But if you're going to have surgery on the wrist, go ahead and knock the shoulder out in the process. Even if you had to miss the entire year, like we're talking about a young 22, 23-year-old, come back even stronger in 2023. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, he obviously wants to play. Fantasy managers want him to play. But, yeah, I think that – I don't know. I honestly don't think that I would draft him anywhere unless it was just like an absurd amount that he had fallen. But a lot could happen. And I don't know. I'm so torn on that too. It's hard to value him. But I think in half a season, you're probably looking around the 200 range personally.
That's kind of where I was settling in that range. I'm actually going to put out a poll from our Twitter account right now about it to see what people's thoughts are. That's a really interesting conversation. But with him in Dynasty, people ask me, like, where does he fall in Dynasty? I'm like, yeah. And my rankings will be out. Updated rankings will be out Thursday. I'm dropping him from 1 to 3. I still can't drop him lower than that, though. These are concerning how he's had, you know, multiple injuries and missed time early on in his career. But he's still arguably the number one fantasy player in the game. It's obviously him and Acuna, and Soto's in there. I'll probably drop him third behind Soto and Acuna, but I don't know. Can you justify dropping him lower than third? Because like after that, you get into like the Vladdy Jr., Trey Turner, you know, that tier, Bo Bichette. Can you justify dropping him down into that range, or is he still kind of in that top tier for you? Because I can't do it. He's still at least number three for me.
Yeah, from a pure talent standpoint, but you just have to wonder, like, how long the injuries keep playing in. Like,
right.
I don't want to call him injury prone. It seems it's trending that way.
It's right. It's at least at the end of the discussion.
It seems like it's more just wildness. I think he hurt the shoulder because of his aggression in the field and sliding. And obviously we know the wrist injury is because of motorcycle. I mean, tack-um. Like, and then when you ask him if the injury was from the wreck and he says, which one, like, holy cow, dude. Like,
That's not a great answer to say.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
I know. That's not an ideal response from your superstar player.
I mean, and why has the team not had – and I get teams shouldn't control players, blah, 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 blah. But you paying the man $341 million? Like, you should tell him to get off the dang motorcycle. Like, don't let him have a motorcycle. He can buy any car in the world. Don't need a motorcycle, bro. Like, you're the franchise player. Come on. So I don't know. I consider him maybe in the Bo range. Bo's a little safer. I think I have Bo fifth, so I push him right around there. Vladdy just feels a little safer at this point, even though you don't get steals. It's a tough spot. I mean, the way that we've seen – I mean, yeah, he's, in my opinion, the most talented player in the game. From a fantasy perspective, he is number one on pure talent and upside, but there are major flags here that we have to consider. So if you're drafting a dynasty startup right now, like, where do you take him? I really don't know. That's even an even bigger question.
Yep. Yeah, it definitely is. And it's hard because if these injuries keep popping up, I think I will end up dropping him further. But right now I'm going to keep him at three. But yeah, I can see down into like the Bo range. Cause obviously everyone knows I love Bo. He's currently fourth for me, but yeah, I just hope that this doesn't turn into like Byron Buxton 2.0 because he's more talented than Buxton.
Oh yeah,
Buxton easily is insanely talented, and Tatis is even that much more talented. So, fingers crossed, this doesn't turn into another Byron Buxton situation here, where we're wasting. You know, we don't get the best we can get from one of the most talented players of this century. So
yeah, that's tough.
All right. Next bit of news. So they're kind of really big name that had some injury, you know, news pop up here over the last handful of days, right after I drafted them in Nerf, of course, in the third round though. But Zach Wheeler might miss opening day, has some shoulder soreness, you know, which, you know, obviously I'm not incredibly shocked by this, you know, because obviously after the 2020 season was obviously shortened to 60 games, he pitched 71 innings and he literally triples that to 213 and a third, which is a career high for him by 18 innings over 2019 when he had 195 and a third.
And Wheeler was dominant. I've been buying into him as a top. I think I have him sixth in my SP rankings this year. Obviously, that drops him down a little bit. But how concerned are you about this? Like, do you think it justifies moving him down a full round or two? Or do you think it's like, all right, he misses a couple starts and he's still, you know, worthy of like a second or third round pick? Where are you at with Wheeler?
Yeah, I think you do bump him down around because I think that the biggest reason he was going so high was volume.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of innings that you were going to get from him is significant. And so even if you miss, 2 to 3 starts here, that's pretty significant to his value. So honestly, I think he does bump down just a hair. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I was trying to look for an update on him today, and apparently now he has the flu and he's obviously not going to throw. He was going to throw on Thursday, but he's not going to throw now on Thursday. So that throws another wrench into the discussion here. So I don't know. I think that I'm considering him around pick 50, but not before that right now.
That's fair. And he was going, I think, around like pick in the mid to late 20s. So yeah, that would be a good round and a half discount there. I'm not like incredibly worried about him. I will drop him down. I think he's probably like my SP, you know, 11 or 12 now, down into like the Freddy Peralta, Logan Webb range for me personally. But I still think he's an ace, and hopefully just a couple of starts and just a minor thing and he gets past it. It didn't seem like it was, you know, from all the sources, you know, talking about it, it didn't seem like it was a lot of worry out of that camp. So hopefully it's just a minor thing. He gets through it and he still makes, you know, 29, 30 starts at least this season.
Yeah.
The other big name that kind of broke today, which we don't have a lot of news on because it was a very vague tweet that Jack Flaherty had medical evaluation of his shoulder, I think is how they worded it, which doesn't tell us much, but that means that something's concerning in his shoulder. And this is a guy that has dealt with injuries in the past, which is why I've shied away from Jack Flaherty. The talent is there. Like, I'm not doubting the talent. He's probably top 15 pitcher if you're just looking at pure talent, but he's had a hard time staying healthy enough to justify where he's been taken in drafts. When he's been taken right now as a high end SP2 in 2022 drafts. And I just couldn't do that. And certain, you know, people on Twitter were saying that they'd like him over Sandy Alcantara, for example. And I think that just fell, you know, flat on their face with that one, because obviously Sandy Alcantara, I think, is much better overall fantasy value than Jack Flaherty. But I don't know. Is Flaherty someone you want to invest in anyway? Or are you going to shy away? I'm shying away because of all these injuries. Like, I just can't do it at the price tag it's going to cost, whether it's redraft or dynasty. I'm kind of out at that aspect. I still think he's super talented, but it's too risky for me.
Yeah, I think that he's going to become a great buy low in dynasty midseason, but for redraft, it's probably just best to avoid him. Who knows? The uncertainty is probably the biggest question mark here. And with the uncertainty, it's normally worse than it seems. Look at Lance McCullers, who there was uncertainty.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Kind of just vague stuff. And then today we get the news that PRP injection, stem cell, whatever, he's not going to pitch this year. So that's my concern with Flaherty, is that it kind of progresses and gets a little worse. And then bam, like, he's out for the year. So probably best to just avoid him and redraft. But he's still talented. So I would say that he's going to become a great dynasty buy low.
I want to believe that. And I think that's I definitely am with you there to a degree. I don't know. I want to see him. It would depend on what the price is, obviously. Okay, if it's a really lower price, like 80 cents on the dollar, I could see buying into that. But this is a guy that pitched about three quarters of the time in 2020. Like, he should have had, like, you know, 12, 13 starts. He made 9. And then last year he made about 50% of his starts and was good. 3.22 ERA, 106, you know, whip. So I don't know. I guess it'll just depend on the price tag, but I think people are always like Jack Flaherty more than me. So I will probably shy away. Let's get to a bit of good news here, because most of these news we have are not great. So let's sneak in a bit of good news here. This one out of Dodgers camp, that Max Muncy is likely going to be ready for opening day per Dave Roberts. And this is a guy that, due to the uncertainty of when he'd be back and how healthy he would be when he got back, was falling a good amount in drafts. Like, a healthy Muncy is what, top 75 pick or something like that? And he was falling past pick 150, pick 175. I saw him there plenty of times available. I took him in a few just to get a couple of shares of him, but with him healthy, or I shouldn't say healthy, with him ready for opening day, we still don't know how healthy that elbow is and how much it'll hold up. Probably get some more DH than anything, but are you more confident buying back into Muncy and seeing that ADP start to rise again?
Oh, yeah. I think there was good news. And you know, when the news that he was close to swinging came out, everybody was like, how's he not swinging yet? But nobody realized that interview was in January. So yeah. He was clearly much further along. Like, people just discovered that interview from like January 20th where he stated he was close to swinging. And then there was another interview not long ago that said, you know, he was preparing to be ready for opening day. I drafted him, I think, in TGFBI at like 160 something, which could be a really big steal right now.
I like that.
He
doesn't
play. And the nice thing is he can DH. So he's going to be able to DH and not have to play the field, not to worry about throwing a baseball. I really like Muncy. He's just a guy that flies completely under the radar of how talented he really is. He in the middle of a elite lineup, going to drive in and score a ton of runs there. And the power's still there. I don't expect the power to be zapped much at all by this injury. So, yes, I'm still buying Muncy. You know, if he continues to fall in this 150 range, I'll be happy to take him.
For sure. As would I. He has been incredibly consistent. Really, look at his last three. Okay, take out 2020. But looking at 2018, 2019, and 2021, he was right around 250 to 260 average. OBP 368, 374, 391. 35, 35, and 36 home runs last 2 years, so 2019 and 2021, averaged 96 RBI, 98 runs scored, and with those good OBPs and 35 home runs, 36 home runs. So with dual eligibility, you know, he used to have triple eligibility with third base, now it's just first and second, but still, like, Max Muncy is incredibly consistent. He's still only 31 years old. He mentioned hitting in the middle of a very good, actually great Dodgers lineup that still might add a Freddie Freeman or someone like that. So probably going to be even better by the time opening day rolls around. He'll probably be hitting in the middle of it. He always does. Yeah, super. Yeah, he doesn't add speed and the average is lower, but it's not a terrible average. It doesn't kill you. And then if you're in OBP leagues, he's great.
Oh,
so
yeah, he's a late OBP.
OBP guy, he's top 40, you know, something like that. So yeah, definitely. I'm hoping I can get some shares of Muncy again here before the price tag. It's already started to rise again, but hoping to get some before it rises even more. Moving over to the prospect side of things, that might have flown a little bit under the radar because it was a few weeks ago at this point. But Josh Jung had to have shoulder surgery. Unfortunately, he's gonna be out basically the entire year. They said 5 months. That'll put it to August, September. Texas is probably not going to be competing this year, so I can see them shutting him down here. And this is unfortunate because that was right before my prospect updated, my rankings came out on Fantrax, where I was moving Jung up from like 23 or so up to 11 or 12. Then I had to move him right back down to the mid 20s to adjust for the injury. So like, he didn't move at all, but he was going to be a borderline top 10 guy close to Torkelson's. I think he's that good of a pure hitter. Are you worried though, Chris? Because this was a labrum, if I recall correctly. And shoulders always have a way of limiting power or lingering, being re-injured. So are you more worried about Young's long-term outlook after this injury? Or do you think he's still going to be, you know, the 280 plus, 25 plus guy that we thought think he can be.
Well, he was just developing the power and like a fringe power guy. Like it definitely zaps some of that, which I'm afraid of. So I think it's going to, I think next year he's going to come back, and I don't think he's going to be great. I think his stock's going to fall a little bit, and then it's going to create a good pine opportunity for 2024, which is crazy to think, you know, two seasons from now. So yes, I am concerned. I think that he probably should be dropped pretty significantly. I think I dropped him around 25 in my prospect rankings, and I'm wondering if that's a fair spot now, but I don't know. I mean, he was top 10 for me, so it's tough, but I do think that unfortunately it hurts his value and could hurt his outlook for at least the immediate future when he returns. I the power does worry me.
Yeah, and since he's not a speed guy, maybe he adds, you know, a couple every year, but he doesn't have 15, 20 steals to fall back on if the power dips down. So this could, if he's more of a 18 homer guy as opposed to 25 to 30 because of this, yeah, it definitely hurts because that's not a really sexy profile. If you get something in 30 home runs, yeah, you can play with that. But yeah, definitely worried because of that labrum. Those are one of some of the injuries that I'd really worry about, like backs, labrums, you know, for hitters, and wrists, obviously, stuff like that are the ones I worry a little bit more about. Maybe I'll check in with our good buddy, Dr. Nick Savali, about this, see what his thoughts are. But yeah, definitely drops him in our rankings, and hopefully a good buying opportunity, like you said, Chris. I think if we can get him on 80 cents on the dollar right now, I definitely would. That's something, he's a very good hitter. So I will try to buy low if possible in Dynasty. A couple other pitchers here that are, you know, behind schedule, so to speak. Zach Gallen dealing with some shoulder bursitis. He's behind schedule. Lance McCullers, no real shock here. Also behind schedule. I think it's a little bit more severe, or a little more worrisome, I should say, with McCullers as opposed to Gallen. But just in general, Chris, are you shying away from either of these two at their ADP right now because of the issues they're dealing with?
I don't think you should draft McCullers. Like, there's zero reason to even consider drafting him right now. I don't think he's going to pitch an inning this year, or maybe he pitches in September. But when you continually see it get worse, he still hasn't thrown a pitch this year.
Right.
And when the news comes out today that you had a PRP injection plus stem cell treatment, and you're not sure if surgery will be on the table or not, and you're not sure when you'll begin throwing, you're just not going to pitch. I really don't think you are. Gallen's fine. Gallen threw today, actually, and I watched his interview, and it sounded pretty promising. It was a shoulder bursitis, whatever you say that.
Bursitis.
There you go.
Only reason why I know that, because I have it too.
Gotcha. And so he said that it was in December that happened. And he got it checked out like during the lockout, just because he had the time. He knew he had the time to get it together and stuff. And he's fine. So he did throw a bullpen today. Everything seemed okay. So I'm hoping it drops his cost a little bit, honestly. But with what Gallen had last year, he had the UCL strain. That's a little concerning when you have both now, the shoulder and the UCL coming into play. So is something to think about, but Gallen's going pretty cheap in terms to how good he is, in my opinion. I mean, after coming back from a strained UCL or whatever exactly he was dealing with, from July 31st on, he threw the most pitches in baseball of any pitcher. So that just tells you he was obviously okay, and I think he's going to be okay this time. So maybe his cost drops a little bit. I'll be in on him. McCullers, I've completely taken off my draft boards. I just don't think he's going to pitch this year.
Yeah, I'm there with you. And it sucks, too, because McCullers is very talented. And I like McCullers in general. Yeah. And he did a lot of stuff last year, added in another pitch that made him even better. But, yeah, just too risky at this point. I have several shares of him from earlier in the offseason, which I knew was risky at the time already. But, yeah, I'm not drafting him at all anymore. Gallen, I'm still in on. I like Gallen a lot. And for those that don't know, bursitis is basically, there's a something called a bursa sac in your shoulder, which basically is like a fluid filled sack, lack of a better term. And basically it's just some inflammation there. It causes a little bit of soreness, a little bit of stiffness. It's not like anything super, you know, bad, but it's just more of a irritation, comfortability type of thing. So yeah, hopefully it's just a minor thing for him and he'll get over that. Cause I have several shares of Gallen this year, and I love him as a bounce back and a buy low in dynasty leagues as well. Rounding out our notable news section today, We got Aaron Ashby, Tanner Houck, and Garrett Whitlock. It was reported, and you did this on Fantasy Pros as well, for their news desk, that to no surprise, Houck and Whitlock are not locks to the rotation, which I think we all pretty much knew. But at the same time, you look at, so the top three are locked in. You got Chris Sale, you got Nate Eovaldi, and you got Nick Pivetta. After that, it's looking like Rich Hill, a.k.a. Dick Mountain, and Michael Wacha. Is anybody really, like, comfortable or, you know, confident, I should say, that those two are going to remain healthy for an entire season and pitch productively? You know, Rich Hill was 76 years old, and Michael Wacha hasn't really been that good in the last several years. So I think they're going to get a shot. If I had to guess, I think Houck with the first shot to start. I still don't know if Whitlock's future is in rotation or the bullpen. I still think Houck's a starter. I think he could be a damn good one. I think he could be top 25 if he gets enough innings. But, you know, and we don't go super deep into this. We talked about this on a couple episodes ago with Nick Pollock. But, you know, where are you at on these three in general? Because Ashby was said that he was going to be stretched out as a starter. That doesn't guarantee him a starting rotation spot, obviously. But would you be surprised if Ashby or Houck, you know, just with a strong showing in spring training, beat out, you know, either Wacha here in Boston or like an Adrian Hauser in Milwaukee? Would that surprise you at all?
I'm still so skeptical about Houck and Whitlock because I just don't think the team wants to use them in a starter's role. Like they've said nothing committal to that,
which is annoying as a Red Sox fan.
Sure. Yeah. As a fan, and I'm sure, and in most fantasy managers, like we won't, him to be in the rotation. Like both these guys could be talented in the rotation, but I don't know. I don't see them committing to it. And even with injury, like I just think Whitlock, I have no clue. I haven't seen enough on Whitlock, and I think he still has question marks where, you know, last year was a huge breakout year. And will that stick? I don't know. I've seen enough Houck where I feel comfortable saying he's better served in a 2-3 inning role. Like he's elite there. And that's not what fantasy managers want to hear. And that's not what Red Sox fans want to hear because he could be a stud starter, but there's still major question marks if he can make it through the order more than two times. And he hasn't really shown that. So that's where I'm kind of skeptical a little bit of them. Ashby wouldn't surprise me at all if he goes in and takes the spot. I mean, he should. Like it really is something where I'm not surprised that they're saying he'll be stretched out. I think that it probably would have been, you know, different if we said that he wasn't getting stretched out. I don't think his value changes at all right now. Like everyone's going to say, all right, well, his value should shoot up the board, but I don't really think so because he's still not proven. So I think he's valued fairly, and there's no telling what a stretched out look like for Ashby. Does that mean 4-5 innings? I don't know. And even if so, and going back to Houck and Whitlock, I would say Houck is probably the better chance of getting the rotation, but what if Houck is a starter and just throws four innings, or what if he becomes a starter and he's a piggyback? Because I could definitely see them piggybacking Rich Hill and Michael Wacha with somebody, and Houck fits that spot. So again, he's looking at three innings maybe. Yeah, he may steal some wins, but I just don't see that being valuable on a fantasy roster personally. So that's where I'm concerned, and it's just – reporting the facts. People don't want to hear it because people want to speculate and say he can be a great starter, but right. The facts are what they are, and it's been made clear by the Red Sox organization. They did not commit to Whitlock or Houck in the rotation. Who did they commit to? They committed to Hill and Wacha. I mean, that's exactly what they said. They said they're going to be part of the rotation.
And they'll get Paxton back at some point, like July or so. So yeah,
Paxton's coming back midseason. So now you have six, and yes, you're right. I mean, there's Pivetta, Hill, and Wacha, who can they stay healthy? Probably not, but you still have to factor in Paxton coming back there too. And are the Red Sox even done? Are they done adding? It doesn't appear so to me. So
well, they're not really awake right now. Before they got in on the Freddie Freeman sweepstakes kind of sort, or as that rumor came out, it was like Red Sox hadn't done anything the last couple of days. Oh, and we signed what was his name? Matt Strom.
Matt Strom, baby.
Good a few years ago with San Diego and hasn't done much since then. But yeah, with Houck, I agree with you to an extent. I just wish they would give him a chance to see if he could go through the order to third. They haven't really given them a chance. Like there were so many times when I'd be sitting there watching a Saturday afternoon Sox game or Wednesday night, whenever it may be, Houck's going. He's carving up the opposing lineup. And he's like, it's like four or five innings. He's got like two hits, one walk, seven Ks, and he's only got like 72 pitches or something like that, let's say. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, they're warming up Ryan Brazier or whoever. I'm like, give him a shot. Like, I hate when they just don't even, they just assume that he can't do it when they've never really given him a shot to do it, which this is one thing that's always irritated me. With this, you know, look at whatever they're looking at on the iPad and like, all right, no, we got to get Hulk out of there. Give him a shot. How do you know if you don't give him a shot? That's always irritating for me. But yeah, I totally agree, though, that until we know the role, especially with Hulk and with Ashby, who I think both could be like top 30 pitchers this year if given 140 plus innings. But until we have a better idea if they're going to get those innings, we can't draft him as such. It's like, I think they could have a Freddie Peralta was top 25 with 144 innings last year. I think Hulk and Ashby could do the same, but yeah, they're still going too high. Ashby's better. I think his ADP is a good 50 to 60 spots behind Hulk. So if I had to pick one for 2022 to draft right now, I'd probably go with Ashby because of the better price. And I think there's actually a slightly better chance he gets a rotation spot start the season than Hulk does. But yeah, still, you know, this is, I guess, a little promising for Ashby. And then obviously it's what we knew already with Hulk and Whitlock, which is frustrating. But like you said, it is what it is at this point.
And Hulk is going in the same range of draft as Sonny Gray. Like,
why? I'm not even a big Sonny Gray guy. No. And I would take him easily.
Easily. Luis Severino, who today was said to be the most ready in the Yankees camp. Severino was an ace for two seasons before he got hurt. And he can come back and easily throw 160 innings. There's no question about that. Yep. He can throw 160 ace-level innings. Why? It's just not even in the realm of consideration for me to take Hulk over Severino or Gray when they're going in the same spot. Like, that just doesn't – now, you throw in Tarik Skubal, where maybe I consider Hulk. I'm not taking either, but
right.
Comparison one-to-one, I don't love Skubal either. But there's just too many solid pitchers there. So going in the range that he's going, I mentioned – you have Sonny Gray. You have Marcus Stroman, who I'm not the biggest fan of either, but I'd take Stroman easily. Luis Severino. You have Jordan Montgomery, who I'd take over Hulk. Mike Clevinger, I'd take over Hulk. I just don't see an argument to take Hulk in the range he's going.
Yeah, and there was actually some promising reports about Clevinger lately that he's looking pretty good, locked for the rotation. So, yeah, I think Clevinger's a guy that I was kind of shying away from a bit because of the uncertainty. I was like, how he's had so many injuries, so much missed time. What's he gonna look like? But everything's promising, so I might buy back in that range. And yeah, I would take him over Hulk as well. Just looking at the ADP for where Hulk is, McCullers is still in that range. Ew, let's not do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would go Stroman. I would go Jomo. I would go Sandoval, Clevinger.
Yeah.
Probably Ryu. I'm
John not, Means, I'd take over Hulk easily.
Means, probably Wood and Dave Sclafani. Joe Ryan, maybe. Consider it. Wainwright's going in that range. I'm not a huge Wainwright guy. I wouldn't do that. Urquidy, I probably would.
John Gray at 240.
John Gray, I would. Huascar Ainoa is possible. Alex Cobb, I'm not as high as most on him. But yeah, so now we're getting down near 250 overall. Even like Bailey Ober and Steven Matz and Herman Marquez, I might even consider over Hulk at this point. Just because of the role. If he was a starter, I wouldn't. I'd probably think this is pretty reasonable if he was guaranteed 140 innings. But yeah, just can't do it right now. But that wraps up the news. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back on the other side, get in some signings and some trades. So do not go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're craving Church's three-piece classic? There's no other option. Two crispy legs, a thigh, and a warm honey butter biscuit are the only way. And that's why we call it a classic. Church's Texas Chicken. Tap the banner to find your nearest location. Offer valid at participating locations.
All right, welcome back from the break. The signings part of this is, you know, there was a couple of big signings or big-ish signings to start the post-lockout offseason, but kind of has gotten quiet over the last few days, but still a few notables to talk about here, most of which are on the pitching side of things. We'll start with a couple out in the National League West. Carlos Rodon went to the San Francisco Giants, 2 years, $44 million, and Clayton Kershaw went back to the Dodgers on a one-year deal here. Let's start with Rodon, Chris. Obviously, very up and down, major league career for him, but you know, recency bias, the last year was the best year of his career by a fairly substantial margin here. You know, after he was one of the worst pitchers in baseball in 2019 and 2020.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In 2021, improved across the board, 24 starts, 2.37 ERA, 0.96 whip, and a elite 34.6% K rate, 189 XBA, 316 X slugs. All the metrics were very, very good. ERA indicators pretty much backed up the performance as well, but he's got, you know, a little bit of injury issues to deal with here. So people were kind of shying away from him starting this, you know, draft season. But now that he went to San Fran, an org that has a stellar recent track record of getting the most out of their pitchers and then even more than anybody would anticipate, now there's a little bit of buzz around Rodon here. Are you buying back into Rodon, or would you, or were you even out on Rodon? Where are you at on him in general?
I was independent on the price. Honestly, I think he fell in our relegation draft to like 140 and I took him, and that was before the signing. That was before the news that his medicals were good. And that's the thing, that there are reports of really good med, like a lot of teams said that there were, his medicals were very clean, which was after the lockout, which was definitely ideal. You move to a great, great pitcher's park and an org that does a great job with development. So to me, it's kind of like a green light for him. And yeah, I think that there is reason to be skeptical based on his injury history. It's not good at all. But what I'm saying is that 140 Carlos Rodon innings are worth pick 125 to 150. And yeah, maybe his value does balloon a little bit. I mean, San Francisco is obviously the place to be right now for pitching. So I'm not sure if there's been any updates since he signed. I don't even remember what day he signed at this point.
I'm pulling that up. I'm going to go like the last 3 days, because since February 1st, it was around 137. Let me just go since Sunday. I don't even know if I'll get any drafts. Probably a few drafts.
Since last Friday, 106.
Okay, yeah, I couldn't get anything the last few days. So, yeah, it's definitely already gone up.
Yeah. And,
well, and 106 is still fair. Yeah, I think I like 137 better. But, yeah, 106 is still fair.
I don't know. It's just a weird spot for him. Obviously, the landing spot's great. The injury history is the biggest question mark. So that leaves me a little bit skeptical. So I think the price is priced fairly based on all things. So it's the risk you have to decide if you want to take or not. For me, if he falls to 125, it's an easy pickup. Around pick 100, probably fair. So I would at least consider taking a stab on him there, because I do think we saw the talent level of who he can be if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, and you know, Rodon, he's got one of the best sliders in the game. You know, 40.6% whiff rate, 107 batting average against, 126 slug. Even when he 3 extra base hits all year on that slider, you know, with 604 thrown. Fastball is pretty good as well. Changeup got hit around a lot. So I wonder, you know, I'm always skeptical of these two pitch guys, unless they're Jacob DeGrom, obviously. But that's a different story. But yeah, that changeup was so terrible last year. 367 batting average again, 612 slug. 419 WOBA. Just, he got some whiffs with it, 36.3%. So that was pretty solid. But you got, but only 4 strikeouts with it. So you look at, he had 185 Ks last year, 90 on the four seamer, 91 on the slider, and only 4 on the changeup. So, you know, that's a little worrisome to me, at least here. Doesn't throw anything. He has a curveball 38 times, 1.7% usage. So I'm not even counting that. So, but the slider and the four seamer are both very good. Love the landing spot with San Fran. And yeah, if he can say give you 140, 150 innings, I think the ADP around pick 100 will be justified. And the other arms in that kind of range where he's been going lately are, you know, Blake Snell, Shane McClanahan, Trevor Rogers. I think I would still take all of those guys, especially I definitely Rodgers and McClanahan, probably Snell. But I'd be okay with him as my SP3 because usually I have my SP2 more on like the pick, you know, ADP 75 range, like Cease, Berríos, Musgrove, someone like that. So if I can get Rodon as my 3 or even my 4, that'd be great. But even my 3, I think I'd be okay with.
Yeah.
Personally, with Kershaw, I think Kershaw's gotten more of a bad rap than he deserves. Like, obviously, the risk is there. Like, he's not getting any younger. He is now, what, 34? But there's a lot of miles on that arm. Debuted back in 2008, he debuted, which is insane. Okay, he'll be 34 in a few days here on the 19th. But it's kind of a similar thing. Like, can you count on him for more than 160 innings? No. He had 121 and two-thirds last year, which I think people are kind of looking at. But before the lockout, before the pandemic, he was at 178, 161, 175, 149, and then a 232 back in 2015. But if he can give you 140, 150 innings, those are probably still going to be really good innings. His 355 ERA last year only had a 102 whip. Like, he's still low walk rate, still a high, pretty solid K rate, not elite, but definitely above average. His 355 ERA was the highest of his career besides his rookie year in 2008. Before that, 303, 216, 273, 231. So I think you can still count on an ERA potentially in the high twos, low threes, over a strikeout per inning. You know, always has had a low walk rate. That's one of his, you know, things he's been known for over the last decade or so after he settled into the major league. So I think the ADP on Kershaw is very reasonable. So if you look, and this, I'm going back to since February 1st for ADP, 175. I'm all over him at 175. Obviously, it depends on who you already have in your rotation, but if he stays there, 175, even 120 innings, I think that's a good value.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth taking a chance there. You look, and you mentioned the age, you mentioned the mileage, there's a lot of things going against him, but last year, man, he had a lot going for him. I mean, he honestly had some of the best stuff of his career last season. Swinging strike rate, I'm almost certain was the highest of his career. I'm trying to pull it up and find it because I'm pretty sure I remember it being the highest of his career, which is pretty darn impressive when you've had a Hall of Fame career like Kershaw has. Again, how many innings? If I don't know if he gives you 130 innings at that spot. It depends on your team build, I guess. You can't draft him if you have other risky arms like Rodon, but if you've had a pretty solid track record of arms going ahead of him and he's like your SP5 or 6, then understand. Yes, that's correct. He had a 16.7% swinging strike rate last year, highest of his career. Silly. He was 34 years old. So good. So I don't see why he can't do it again. He's fixing to turn 34 actually in a couple days. The mileage you mentioned, but I think we know who he is at this point and we know what we're going to get out of him. And if you're okay with that, then take him.
Can I just say, I love that term you use. He's fixing the turn 34. I've always loved that phrase. I don't know why. I think is that a Southern thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know why that's always like, it's a funny bone with me. I'm not sure why, but yeah, look at the metrics. Just look at the body of work. I go into the Savant page, look at the last several years compared to this year. A lot of numbers were on par or even better. Like you mentioned, the swing and strike rate, his whiff rate is the best he's had in the Savant era. Contact chase rate was his like third highest over the last 7 years. It was higher than 2020. You know, he's giving up less contact, the barrel rate, XBA, X-slug, all of that, hard hit rate is all pretty much in line. It's been very consistent over the last 6-7 years. So the body of work is still very good. It's just how big of a body is it? Is it 120 inning body? Is it 150 inning body? That definitely factors in. But I said, even 120 innings of Kershaw, ADP is fair. 140, 150, ADP is an absolute steal. I truly believe that. Those were the two big signings. I guess another big signing. That's the next biggest here. Nelson Cruz.
Nelly
going to the Nats. I love this deal, Chris. I was so happy. First off, I think it's a great move for Nelson Cruz. Like, I think people are looking too much into his Tampa Bay numbers last year. Can people stop doing that? Nobody likes hitting in the trough. The Trop is, I'm sorry, all you Tampa Bay Rays fans. The Trop sucks. Nobody likes getting there. There's catwalks all over the place. It's the weirdest park ever. And we saw with Willie Adames how much better he did out of there. Look at what Nelly did leading up to his time in the Trop. That is the Nelly I think he can still be. He goes to a park that's been a top 10 hitting park, especially for right-handed power over the last handful of years. He's likely going to be hitting cleanup right between. He'll probably have Josh Bell hitting right behind him. And then the GOAT, Juan Goto Soto, hitting right in front of him. That's a great spot to be in. So I like the spot for him. I like the park for him. And then this just gives an added bonus here to all you people that have Juan Soto shares, including obviously myself, a little more lineup protection for Juan Soto. Josh Bell, pretty good player. But after that, it was like, all right, you got a young catcher and keeper Ruiz and then a hodgepodge of crap. You know, so adding that extra, and yeah, it still drops off dramatically after those guys, but adding Nelly behind Soto gives him more pitches to hit. And I think you can see maybe the best offensive year we've seen from Soto, which is saying something because look at all the seasons he's already had. But I mean, in terms of counting stats wise, this could be the best year of your career for Soto. So I love the signing all the way around.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. Hitting the spot he's hitting the order, fabulous. He's going to be highly successful in that spot. So I'm pretty much all over him. I think he's going way too low. He always does because everybody's like, well, Father Time is going to catch up with him. And sure, like at some point it will, but he's really defied time for how long now? And he continues to do that. Yeah, he continues to do it. So why do we think he's just going to stop and suck now? Like I don't really get that. But you know, if you don't want to draft him, that's fine. Just avoid him. But you look at the other util only players, and he goes just so much later. So he's a great pick in my opinion.
Yeah. Would you be surprised if he had a better year than Franmil Reyes this year?
No, not at all.
No one either.
And Franmil's going how much higher?
He's going like 100 to 120 range. Where is, I don't even know. Where is Nelly going? He's going like 200-ish, isn't he? Let's see here.
Yeah.
I can type his name correctly. 197. Yeah. And then Franny is going 135. It's a little later, but still, that's like 60 spots behind, like a full four rounds behind. Maybe Franny is a safer choice, but 60 spots, you know, I would definitely take Cruz compared to Franny at ADP. If I can get 35 and 100 out of him, then maybe he won't score a lot of runs, but he always had a pretty solid average. He should be a pretty good player at that range. I don't think you can find a lot of 35 and 100 at pick 200. So
not at all.
Yep. I am all over Nelly Cruz. And yeah, I think he's going to be like, people were waiting for David Ortiz to fall off every single year. He just didn't. Like, he was one of the best years of his career, last year of his career before he retired. I went out on the high note. But yeah, I think Cruz will be the same. Until he shows me that he's going to fall off, I'm still investing. And it's going to take more than a bad showing in a crappy park to shy me away from Nelson
100%,
Cruz. 100%. Yep. Absolutely. All right, a couple more. Those are the big ones. A few more here. You had Andrelton Simmons going to the Cubs. Not really notable, but that kind of pushes Nico Hoerner to the bench. Take that for what it's worth. That's not really much. Brad Hand went to Philly. I still think Corey Knebel is the closer, so that's not really noteworthy either. Figured we'd mention it. But the two others here we'll touch on briefly. Yusei Kikuchi went to Toronto, 3 years, $36 million. Probably is a number five starter behind Gausman, Manoa, Berríos, and Hyunjin Ryu. So that kind of, it was already, you know, kind of speculation that Pearson would be in the bullpen anyway, but Pearson's without a spot in the rotation to start the year, so maybe he's bullpen, AAA, we'll see. And then Andrew McCutchen went to Milwaukee. I still like McCutchen, Chris. Like, people, yeah, he's obviously in the twilight of his career, but he still had 27 home runs, 80 RBI last year. The average sucked, but before that, he was always in that 250, 260 range. Wouldn't surprise me if he got back there, so I like Kutch where he's going as an outfield four, outfield five, OBP leagues, a little bit of a boost there. So I think this is a good spot for him. Yeah, it sucks for Tyrone Taylor and all the shares we had of him as a potential late round breakout, but I think this is a good spot for Kutch.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a good ballpark. He's going to be in a good lineup, and I don't think he's done. I mean, he still showed good power speed last year. I do think the average was a little fluky. I expect that to rise up. OBP league, great, great, great OBP threat. So I'm all in. I think the price is a little low. If he's your outfielder five or a util guy, like, dude, he's awesome. Like, I'd be happy with that. And I think he's going way later than that. He's like going in like bench range almost. So.
Whoa. Yeah, he's going. I didn't realize he's going 342.
Holy. Yeah. So he's going. You're probably not drafting your outfielder five there.
Whoa. I thought he was going like 242. I didn't realize how late he was going. Like, he's going in a range with outfielders. Lorenzo Cain. Actually, not a lot of outfielders in this range, but Patrick Wisdom is going in this range. I don't know why. David Fletcher. Wisdom is actually 15 spots higher. Adam Frazier, Brendan Marsh is intriguing, but yeah, I would definitely go. And then there's Kikuchi too. He's going in this range as well, 334. But yeah, 342 for Kutch, great. And he has a min pick of 290 over the last month and a half. So you can definitely get him 300 or later for sure. That's even better. I already liked him in the mid to late 200s. If he's in the mid 300s, boom, even better.
I've always been a
Kutch guy, and that Milwaukee lineup could be sneaky good this year. Yeah. We'll see how it shakes out. There's a lot of moving parts there, and maybe some platoons, but that could be at least a middle of the pack or better offense. We'll see. That was really it. You know, obviously Nate Pearson. I'll go bold prediction that Nate Pearson gets 10 saves this year. What a bit of a fun bold prediction there, because we saw the closer carousel with Toronto last year, and I like Jordan Romano and all, but is he a lock to be the closer all year? I don't know. So I can see Pearson getting some saves. I don't know. It's a fun little bold prediction there. I still think Pearson's going to be something, whether it's a starter, reliever. I don't know. Every day that reliever bar for me gets closer and closer to the starter bar. It's almost 50-50 at this point, but I still believe in the talent that he's going to be an impact arm in some capacity. I'm just not sure what capacity anymore, unfortunately. All right, moving on here. A lot of fun trades, and a lot of them involving Minnesota. We'll start with the Twins there. Their first trade was trading Chase Petty to get Sonny Gray from the Cincinnati Reds. And then they also traded Mitch Garver, who I love, to Texas for Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and then promptly flipped him 46 minutes later, it felt like, to the Yankees, along with Josh Donaldson, for Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela. I don't know. I love the Gray trade for them. Petty's a very talented arm. Very electric. You know, obviously, can touch double digits, wipeout slider, developing changeup. So I like that get for Cincinnati. Gray, obviously, it's getting out of Great American Ballpark. It's just huge. Like, his ERA last year was over a half run lower. Over a full run lower.
Yeah, it was significant.
Yeah, on the road. Wasn't quite Tyler Molly levels of splits there, but definitely getting out of that ballpark is helpful. I had him as my number 52 starter. I bumped him up to number 44. So if I can get him as like my number four, I'd be okay with that. I'm still not the biggest Sonny Gray guy, but this is definitely a bump up for his value for sure.
Yep, no, I agree. It's funny. Did you see the thing? Kiner-Falefa was like not sure where his car was because Texas had sent it to camp where he would be with Minnesota. And then I guess they got confused that he went to New York. So he's like, has no clue where his car is right now. That was funny. But that just shows how quick.
Dude, where's my car?
Right.
part two, starting Isaiah Kiner-Falefa.
Good reference. Good reference. So, yeah. It's an interesting move. I do like it for Kiner-Falefa. I actually like it for almost all parties. Like, both these trades, yeah. It almost benefits everybody in the party. IKF, I think his value goes up. He was out of a spot in Texas. So, he got a spot in Minnesota. The Yankees are committed. The Yankees love him. Like, they say he's going to be their starting shortstop. Like, dude, you're the starting shortstop for the Yankees. Like, good lineup, good ballpark. We know what kind of hitter he is. I don't know if he steals 20 bases again, but, you know, not great, but he's a decent late round target. And yeah, with Garver, I mean, Garver already had huge power and just stay healthy. I mean, Garver's a top five catcher when healthy, in my opinion. Yep. So, maybe he stays healthy in Texas, and that lineup's improving now. So, I don't know. I'm in on Garver. Sanchez, I don't really know what to make of him. Maybe a fresh start's what he needed. I really hope that this fresh start can benefit him. And, you know, Bob Nightingale saying, oh, they just got him to flip him, and they just got him. But no, he's going to be the starting catcher for him. I think he gets probably two-thirds of the reps to Ryan Jeffers, one-third. Just my observation. Maybe Jeffers gets more because Gary can DH. I don't know, but I do like Urshela. Urshela's value moves up in the deal. He was out of spot in New York, in my opinion. They were going to make a move that threw him out of a spot, so at least they got rid of him. Donaldson, shoot, he joins the team where they all do the same thing, where literally they all hit bombs. And so they're the Bronx Bombers for a reason. He fits right in there. And if healthy, Donaldson's still got a lot in the tank too. So
yeah,
he's one that I do like a decent bit.
Did you see that? You see that picture of it was him in the middle, and on his left was Gallo, and on his right was Stanton. And Donaldson is 6'1". Let me remind you. And Stanton's like overlooking like Shaquille O'Neal, like 7'3" or something like that. It was ridiculous.
Judge is huge. Stupid.
Just it was Judge. Yeah, sorry,
but stupid how Judge. Big they are.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, I'm with you. I think there was a good value upgrade for a lot of the players here. Like I've already, you know, talked about and written up Garver a few times this offseason. You know, quality of contact was elite last year, 17.4% barrel rate, 546 X slug, 53.6 hard hit rate. Just strikes out a bit too much. And you mentioned the injuries, but I think there's a lesser chance of whoever the backup is, whether it's Jonah Heim or I'm blanking on the other catcher's name there, but whoever the backup is, I think there's a lesser chance that they eat in to his playing time than Ryan Jeffers. So yeah, it was probably more like 60-40 him in Minnesota. It's probably closer to 2/3, 1/3 or 70-30 in Texas, I believe. And he should have a pretty, you know, he already had a good lineup around him. I think this would be a solid lineup in Texas as well. So love that. Love Donaldson. Like I tweeted about him, you know, earlier, was that today or yesterday? I can't remember at this point, but him, same thing, 17.4% barrel rate, 542 X slug, 52.7% hard hit rate. He's been above 50% hard hit rate each of the last 3 years. It's just obviously, can he stay on the field? Like if we can get 130 to 140 games out of him, which he did 155 just 2 years ago or 3 years ago now with your Atlanta Braves, Chris, you know, a year he had 259, 37 home runs, 94 RBI, 96 runs. If he gets 130, 140 games, and he had 135 last year, I think you could see a guy that pushes top 10 third base this year. Obviously, third base is not great. Like the 10th third baseman being drafted is probably what, roughly Anthony Rendon, someone like that. So I could easily see him outproducing or at least being on that level. Obviously, he doesn't run at all, but decent enough average, higher OBP, good power, great park, great lineup around him. Yeah, I love Donaldson. He's been one of my favorite targets. If I don't go early on third base, he's been a guy I've been targeting in that 175 to 200 pick range, and I'm targeting him even more now. As for some of the other guys in this deal here, Kiner Falefa, I don't know. I have a few shares of him because I think he can still give you, you know, 15 steals or so while having shortstop eligibility. So he's been on a few of my teams. I don't know. He's not sexy. The bat's not really great. It's okay. But don't have a lot of shares of him, just a couple. I don't have any Gio Urshela shares, and I don't want to. It's not so much that I think he's bad. I think he's okay. But he's burned me so many times over the last 2 or 3 years. After that one good year, I invested more heavily, and he just did absolutely nothing for me. So there's just other guys I like in that range. So, like, he's going – where is he going? 286, which is actually not bad at all. Dual eligibility, third and short as well. But you look at some of the names in this range that I've been targeting more, guys like Alec Bohm, Brendan Nimmo, Jesus Luzardo, if I'm going pitcher, Rowdy Tellez, guys like that, that I've just find myself targeting more than Gio Urshela. So I'm kind of out on him. And Kerry Sanchez, I don't know, dude. Like, maybe the fresh start, like you said, but Kerry Sanchez is Gary Sanchez. Like, I don't think his issues are magically going to disappear in Minnesota. No. And, like, it's not like they're like, oh, where'd he go? Oh, he's not in New York anymore. I'm going to stay here. Like, no, those issues will follow him to Minnesota. Maybe fresh start, but that's the only thing I can, like, I'm grasping at straws here. Like, I don't see anything in the profile to make me want to draft him. He's a number two catcher for two catcher formats. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I think he's a decent upside flyer as a catcher number two. Like, if you get a solid number one, then I'm not opposed to that at all.
Sure. Yeah. I can see that, but that's about it for me.
Yeah. That's fair.
Did we cover everybody here? Sonny Gray. Chase Petty. Okay, I think we got everything in this Minnesota flurry here. All right, the other pitcher that went on, I think on that same day, Chris Bassett went from the Oakland Athletics, who are in a fire sale as well, just like Cincinnati. They sent him to the New York Mets in exchange for right-hander pitching prospects JT Ginn and Adam, I'm not sure if it's Aller or Oler. Ginn's intriguing. He was actually, I didn't realize him and Petty were back-to-back in my prospect rankings at 199 and 200 overall. But Bassett, I love Bassett. Like I tweeted out the other day that he's just so incredibly underrated. He had, like, I think it was the 12th best ERA since the start of, I think it was 2018 or 2019. And his K rate's finally gone up. Yeah, he's one of these late bloomers. Hasn't really done much in his 20s. More of a early 30s breakout guy. But I like this move. He's going to settle in as a number three for them behind, you know, Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer. I like this move. Yeah, the ballpark might be, you know, even though Citi Field is not a hitter's park, it's more of a hitter's park than O.co Coliseum or whatever the heck they call it nowadays. I can't remember. So slight downgrade there, but I still think he's a very solid SP3, SP4 for fantasy purposes that you can get a little later than that. So I like this move for the Mets, and for fantasy purposes, I love Chris Bassett.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a boring dude that gets the job done. And
those guys are valuable.
Yeah. And those are the guys that win fantasy leagues. For what it's worth, he had a 2.44 ERA at home last year, 3.71 on the road, and 87 innings on the road. But again, if you're getting a guy that pitches to a 3.71 ERA, then that's good. Where he's going, that's a good spot, in my opinion. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a little dip because the Coliseum is in an insane pitcher's park, which is why Matt Olson, we're going to talk about, gets a huge boon of value. But Bassett is going to throw innings. I mean, I think you can guarantee 150, 160 from him. He should get a lot. He got 12 wins on that Oakland team last year. He should get wins in New York. But
right.
Mets on Mets, so we'll see. So overall, I do like it. I like where he's going. He's just gets the job done over and over and over again. I mean, he's a career 3.47 ERA, and over the last four seasons, 3.23. Like, that's just silly good. So no, he's just gonna constantly overperform his peripheral numbers and get the job done. So yes, I'm a big fan of Chris Bassett.
He's one of those guys like a Francisco Lindor on the offense side of things where a lot of times some of like the savant metrics don't match up with the surface numbers, but when you have a long enough track record where you're producing at a certain level, you got to buy into it. Like that's the same thing with Tim Anderson. We're like, oh, he's not a 300 hitter. No. Yeah. Maybe the metrics don't say that and he doesn't walk that much. He's aggressive, but he's a 300 hitter. Like he is what he is. You got to see what these guys, they passed the eye test and Bassett passed the eye test. He doesn't have the super high K rate, but it was 25% last year. That was a career best. Walk rate has always been pretty solid around 6%. ERA indicators, you know, we're all in the mid three range. So yeah, let's say he goes 3.5, 3.6 ERA, solid whip, 25% K rate, hopefully a few more wins. It's obviously hard to predict, but you think in, you know, a few more wins going from Oakland, who's terrible right now, to the Mets, you should think there's a few more wins, but we'll see. Yeah, I think that's fine for where he's going. I like Chris Bassett in general a lot, but yeah, let's go over to that Matt Olson trade. Which, you know, I think the Braves saw the writing on the wall, unfortunately, with Freeman. We still don't know as of now where Freeman will go. Dodgers have been rumored. Every team in the AL East besides Baltimore. Sorry, Baltimore. Sorry, Alex Fast. Have been rumored to be in on him. Toronto, I think the Toronto and LA rumors are the two strongest at this point, but we'll see where he goes. Toronto, that would be absolutely insane if they get Freddie Freeman. Same with the Dodgers. That would be insane, too. But we're not talking about Freeman yet. We'll talk about him when that happens. But Matt Olson goes to the Atlanta Braves in exchange for four prospects: catcher Shea Langeliers, outfielder Christian Pache, and right-handers Joey Estes and Ryan Cusick, who they just drafted this past summer. What are your initial thoughts here, Chris? Obviously, you mentioned the ballpark is a huge, huge upgrade. Like I think we both tweeted out, I forget who it was, but they had that his spray chart. Was it Truist Field?
Yeah, Truist. Park, yeah.
I always want to take out that last S, call it Truist. but all those doubles out there that died, or not died, they were still doubles, but that would have been home runs in Truist. So, like, you could easily see 40-plus bombs of him. Like, I think what you saw last year, which was his best offensive year overall, in terms of counting stats, I think you could see that and then some this year with Atlanta. Great lineup around him with Ozzy, Acuna eventually, everyone else. So I think he's back to being my cemented number three first baseman. Like Alonso is creeping up there, and a little bit of news on him. Alonso was T-boned in his car, yeah. Flipped it several times, which is scary, but he's okay. Everyone's okay. Thank God. That broke like 30 seconds after the Tatis news, but yeah, back to Olson. I think this is a very significant upgrade for him in general, but what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and the one that you retweeted actually didn't even include the outs that he had. So I looked at the one with outs, and dude, he's got some flyouts that are out in Truist Park, like a lot of flyouts that are. And dude, there's probably 30 flyouts to the warning track in Truist. So it's kind of crazy. It'll be fun to see. And, you know, emotions aside from everything, like what they did was smart. It was the right business move. So it's tough, but I mean, you look at the body of work and in reality, like they didn't trade away that much, in my opinion. I mean, Pache's not an MLB regular hitter. Yes, he's elite in the field, but he's replaceable. He's not a great hitter. Langeliers, while he's elite behind the plate and he had a good season last year, it was kind of masked by some poor under the radar like stats. I mean, the contact skills were poor. He struck out a lot. He whiffed a lot. So how does that translate to a big league hitter? And there's question. I mean, Estes had a breakout. Cusick's a reliever. So it's a good trade. You extended him. So you have a 27-year-old Olsen who's 5 years younger than Freeman. And everybody's like, well, why didn't they spend that money on Freeman? Because look at the difference. You're paying Olsen $15 million this year, and you're saving the team a chunk of money to spend on other places while Freeman is going to – Olsen's making half of what Freeman will make in 2022. There's no doubt that Freeman gets $30 million a year, at least, in my opinion. So we'll see how that shakes out. But beyond that, Olsen is going to mash. I mean, his contact rate improved 10% last season, pretty significant. I think the ballpark increases his batting average as well, because you look at a lot of those, the Coliseum's huge. A lot of those fly balls just went for flyouts. They're going to turn into home runs. He hit 39 last year. I don't see why he couldn't hit 45. So I'm a big fan. I think Olsen may surpass Freeman in fantasy value this year. I think it's a real possibility. Freeman's going to beat him in average, but I wouldn't be surprised if Olsen's a more valuable fantasy asset this year.
I won't either. I've seen others say that as well. I think obviously I'll take Freeman in drafts right now, but yeah, that would not surprise me at all, because I think this is definitely, like we both said, this was a massive upgrade for him. All the improvements he made last year, cutting his strikeout rate basically in half, down to 60.8%. Walk rate's always been really good, 13% last year. Quality of contact's been, he's at a barrel rate above 12.5% each of the last 5 years. So yeah, I love this move for Matt Olson. A lot of, he could hit 50 this year. Like, that's definitely possible. He could lead the major leagues in home runs. It wouldn't surprise me. He might even be the odds on favorite at this point, or one of the top three or four. Last deal here on the docket. Cincinnati, this was a head scratcher. This is from for Cincinnati's perspective. They got rid of Eugenio Suarez and Jesse Winker, shipped them up to the Pacific Northwest to Seattle, got back Brandon Williamson, who I love. We talked about him on our pitching prospect breakout episode with Christian Crespo a few weeks back, so go check that out. And then Jake Fraley and Justin Dunn. I think Cincinnati fans were there's a few of them on Twitter. Doug Dennis is Cincinnati fan. Clay Link is Cincinnati fan. Like, I don't think people were loving that deal from Cincinnati, but for fantasy purposes, Seattle has become very, very intriguing. Like, it's a pretty solid lineup 1 through 9. They don't have the huge bats right now. If you look at it, for roster resource that is projected, Frazier leading off at second, then Haniger in right, Winker in left, France at first, Kelenic in center, Suarez at third, Crawford at short, Murphy catching, and for now, Toro DHing until Lewis gets back at some point early in the season. So for Winker and Suarez, I don't see any huge value change here. I think get down because of the park, going from Great American Ballpark to, what is Seattle's park now? Is it T-Mobile?
Yes, T-Mobile Park.
Okay, it's hard to keep track of these days of all the parks, but yeah, downgrade for the park, but pretty neutral. I think it's going to be huge. Like, both these guys, Winker and Suarez, a big power, so I don't think it'll be more than like maybe they go down a couple home runs, but with Suarez, we'll see if that September carries over. He had that really hot September, which only got his average up to the Mendoza line. Still hit 198 last year. So we'll see if Suarez can hit like 230, which I don't think is asking too much. He's done it in the past. He's going around pick 200, 230 with 30 to 35 home runs. That's pretty solid in that range. But I don't know. Are you, in general, are you in on Winker or Suarez this year, even after the deal?
I think it's a pretty significant downgrade, unfortunately. I mean, the Steamer updated their projections and Winker's batting average dropped like 20 points.
And oh, did it that much?
That's pretty scary, like, to think about. And the kind of talking the way the GM was talking, saying like that Winker could be in a platoon. Like, that's silly. And I know the
platoon with who though?
Like, yeah, that's what I don't get. Like, I don't know.
I see it in general, but I don't. Yeah, I see it in general. I just don't see like who they would like. Who's on their bench right now? It's Dylan Moore. No, Taylor Trammell. He's a lefty, so no. It the only other outfielder they have would be Dylan Moore, and yeah, he's a righty. But are you gonna bat Dylan Moore? He sucks.
Winker's an elite hitter. That's the thing. He's an elite hitter. So, the batting average dip would be concerning because you're looking at a guy who had 305 last season. So maybe, and maybe it's 275, which is still respectable.
Yeah, still good.
Yep, and he's going to lose some power. I mean, Great American Small Park is named that for a reason. Going to hit home runs galore. I do think Suarez has the power that can transcend this park. Like, Suarez doesn't have, like, fringe power. He has big power. So Suarez is one that I'm not really concerned about. Like, he could hit for plenty of power. What kind of average? I don't know. But he is going to be the team's everyday third baseman. Last year he was playing shortstop, which is a position that wasn't comfortable for him, which –
That was hilarious.
It's just laughable. It's so stupid. It's just laughable. I mean, that's exactly what it is. So I don't know. I do think we see the average come up to what? I don't know, because you look at his trends from his career and the batting average just all over the board. So he could hit anywhere from 200 or 198, as we saw, even up to he hit 271 in 2019, 283 in 2018. Who even knows anymore? But the trend has not been positive. Suarez is a tough one to predict, but there was some positive strides at the end of last season, and he's going late enough where he's intriguing, I think.
Yeah, I'm kind of right there with you. If I need some power late, I've taken Suarez in a few. Like, that dual eligibility is nice. The power is nice. I think the average could bounce back. I don't think he's a hit 200 every year, though. He has the last 2 years, so maybe this is what he is at this point, but yeah, I said Winker, I'm not worried about the platoon. Yeah, the average will drop. I guess I wasn't giving enough thought into the average. But like you said, even if it's a 20-point drop, like 275, 280 is still very good. I don't see him platooning. Maybe he gets, you know, the more days off than usual against a tough lefty. But again, Dylan Moore, I don't think is eaten into his at-bats too much here. So yes, downgrade for both, but I don't think it's quite as significant. But Winker, actually, I don't think I have any shares of Winker. I like Winker, but I just think where's his ADP been recently? It is 113, which again, it's not bad, but in that range, I've been going more so with like DJ LeMahieu, who I've gotten a few times that range. Mitchie Haniger, who I love, and you see that video of him the other day, man. Oh my word. Like, Haniger looks like he's gonna go out there and hit 70 this year. Like, he is absolutely just ripping him. He's just Jack Kelnick, too. Like, there's a video today. It was a report that Kelnick, Winker said that Kelnick looks like an NFL linebacker or running back,
yeah,
I should say.
Yeah, it's so insane.
I'm getting excited over here, obviously, about that. But yeah, Haniger looks pretty good. Kelnick's in that range too for outfielders. So I think I've just been going other ways here. But do we have any more trades here? Nope, that is gonna wrap us up here. Anything else you wanted to add, Chris? Any moves that we forgot here? It's been a lot of them here.
Yeah, I want to check and make sure nothing's happened, but I think that wraps us up.
Yeah, I think that's what I was about to do. So hopefully nothing else happens later tonight. We will do another one of these, you know, when we get enough news to report on. Maybe that's early next week. We'll see. We still got a lot of names to be signed here. Carlos Correa, Chris Bryant, Trevor Story, many more. Maybe the Reds trade another arm or two. Still a lot to go down here. So most likely we will have another one of these episodes, and we will be back on Friday as well for our third episode this week, talking our guys for 2022, just the guys that at each position that we're targeting heavily in drafts, whether it be a top 50 guy or a guy going 300 range. So that'll be a lot of fun episode as well. But that is going to wrap up this episode. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in again this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at EricCross04. Chris is at RotoClegg, and our show is at FanTrax Toolshed. And check out all of our written work at FanTrax HQ or over on Fantasy Pros or our Patreon. And join us again on Friday for more fantasy baseball talk. But until then, one take care.
Hey, Mia.
MEAC fans, it's time to step into a championship. The 2023 MEAC Men's and Women's Basketball Tournament tips off March 8th through the 11th at the Scope Arena in Norfolk, Virginia. Join all the MEAC action with competitive basketball games, fun theme nights, and fan fests, official after parties, and comedy shows. Tickets are on sale via Ticketmaster, and you can log on to meachoops.com for more info. The 2023 MEAC Basketball Tournament. Who will be crowned champion?
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.
I love the playoffs.
Anything can happen.
But the best part? It's like bonus football. And bonus football means betting bonuses with Gambit DC. For a limited time, get up to a 57% multi-sport parlay boost on the Gambit DC app, online, or at any Gambit DC retail location throughout the district. It's the most exciting time to be a fan. So make your play and get the home field advantage with Gambit DC. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Please bet responsibly.
Asbury Methodist Village in Montgomery County takes senior living to the next level, creating extraordinary opportunities for a fulfilling future. Work your brain and body in our new wellness center. Stroll our expansive campus and 17-acre nature preserve. Stay sharp with our resident-run college and find so many new ways to get involved and make a difference for others. Anticipate more from your retirement. Visit AsburyMethodistVillage.org today. Your future's here. Equal opportunity housing provider.